vastu visayehai vastu gyan vastu tattva gyana hoy kripate praman. Gopinathacharya replied, "Knowledge of the summum bonum, the absolute truth, is evidence of the mercy of the Supreme Lord. Purport by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada." Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya informed his brother-in-law, Gopinathacharya, "The Supreme Personality of Godhead may not have shown mercy to me, but what is the proof of His having shown it to you? Kindly let us know about this." In reply to this, Gopinathacharya said that the summum bonum, the absolute truth, and His different potencies are identical. Therefore, one can understand the substance of the absolute truth by the manifestation of His different potencies. The summum bonum includes all potencies in one unit. The absolute truth, combined with different characteristics, is the original substance, vastu. Parashya Shaktir Vivadaya Shuyate. This beautiful story from Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita illustrates practically what is being spoken in this particular sloka that we are reading from today. That knowledge of the absolute truth can only be attained through one process, and that is receiving the mercy of the absolute truth. Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya was one of the greatest of all the scholars of all the Vedic literatures. Although he was a grihastha, living a most pious and respectable life, he committed no immoral activities, even in thought. He was so pure, he was a perfect Brahmin. He was truthful, he was clean, he was completely honest, he was totally self-controlled, and he had studied the Vedas exhaustively. And he could explain the purport of the Vedas in such a way that even great renunciates, sannyasis, pundits from all over India were coming to study Vedanta from him. But he was in the school of Sripad Shankaracharya, and therefore his explanations of all the scriptures were with the aim of trying to realize the Supreme Brahman as the infinite, all-pervading, impersonal absolute in whom ultimately we can enter into and have a non-differentiated existence within that Brahman, Tattva. And he was also a very older, senior person, experienced in this world. Lord Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu came to Jagannath Puri. He came alone. He was traveling with some of his associates, but they did not like to see him carrying danda, because danda means someone who is performing austerities, who has renounced all of the pleasures of this world for the sake of service to the Supreme Godhead. The three danda comprises of actually four sticks of bamboo for a Vaishnava, which means that one's body, mind, words, and life are dedicated exclusively to the service of the Lord without any distraction. And the Mayavadi sannyasis, they carry ekadanda, which represents that by taking sannyas and surrendering to the Supreme, they become one with God. So Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, for the sake of preaching, he performed an activity which is sometimes a great mystery, unless we understand it from those great and fortunate souls who are in his disciplic succession. He accepted sannyas in the Mayavad Sampradaya. Why? Because his purpose of taking sannyas was to get respectability from people so they would hear his message. And at that time, the Mayavad Sampradaya was prevailing throughout India, and people were very much respecting such sannyasis. So he had his ekadanda. But Nityananda Prabhu was thinking, he is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. He is Krishna himself. First of all, he's teaching servitude to Godhead. He's teaching that we are not one with God in all respects. We are one in quality with God, but in essence, we are the eternal servants of the Lord. In the spiritual world, we are always having a distinct relationship with the Supreme Personality of Godhead. This is the very basis of Vaishnava philosophy, as it has been taught by such great acharyas as Nimbarka Acharya, Vishnu Swami, Ramanuja Acharya, Madhva Acharya, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, and all the descendants of these greatest of all acharyas. And even ultimately, Shankaracharya confidentially revealed these truths, although to the public he taught something vastly different. That the perfect state of realization is for the spirit soul to be transported beyond the viraja. The viraja is the border between the material world and spiritual world. And there we enter into the Brahmajyoti, which is called Brahman, the all-pervading light, effulgent light emanating from the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And those who achieve impersonal mukti may temporarily enter into that light and be in a sleeping condition. In the sense, they enter into an eternal existence, but their consciousness of the Ananda Shakti, the blissful potency that is within them, being part of God, is completely undeveloped. Therefore, they cannot conceive of having a relationship with God. They simply merge for some time into the eternal existence of the Supreme Truth. But the Vaishnavas will never enter into that realm of consciousness, because a devotee always wants to please the Lord. He always wants to serve the Lord. He does not want to be in a state of complete neutrality, because the soul is ultimately dynamic. The soul is active. And we can see, when the soul enters into a person's body, immediately there's action. There's breathing, there's heart beating. And then there's seeing, and there's feeling, and there's smelling, and there's touching, and there's thinking, and there's loving, and there's so many experiences that come when the soul enters into the body. Because the soul is dynamic. It is part of God, who is supremely dynamic. And every soul is searching for Krishna, for that lost love. And in the Brahmajyoti, there is no fulfillment of that desire to love. There is simply the fulfillment of the desire to be relieved of the pains due to the dualities of material existence. You see, material life is a life of mundane dualities, honor and dishonor, pleasure and pain, happiness and distress, success and failure, victory and defeat, heat and cold. And sometimes the dualities cause us great happiness, and sometimes terrible, terrible suffering. And that is the nature of this world. But because the good parts of the duality are temporary, we know that in due course of time we have to suffer. So to extinguish the attachments to the sources of suffering, which are the dualities of material creation, we want to go beyond duality and enter into a state of oneness. So mukti, in the impersonal sense, is simply the annihilation of desire, the annihilation of conceiving dualities within this material existence. But the shastras explain that there is something far beyond that which the Vaishnavas aspire for. And that is transcendental variegatedness in pure spiritual desire in relationship with the supreme form of the Lord, Satchidananda Vigraha. And that is Krishna. Where Krishna, who is the source of everything, even the Paramatma and Bhagavan and Brahman, is existing, exchanging loving ras or mellows with his devotees in so many beautiful loving pastimes. And to enter into those pastimes is the perfection and the essence of all the soul's desire. It is the original natural position for every living entity. So Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya, he had every qualification except one. He did not receive the mercy of the Lord, because ultimately that is the only qualification that can elevate one to understanding Krishna, the Absolute Truth. To realize Krishna, it cannot take place by any amount of yajna. It cannot take place by any amount of tapasya. It cannot take place by any amount of learning of the shastras, by following the strictest, highest moral principles. It can only come about when the Lord bestows his mercy upon us and reveals himself to us by his own sweet will. So Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, as Krishna himself, entered into Jagannath Puri. He saw Lord Jagannath, and in the mood of a devotee, Sri Radharani, when he saw Jagannath Dev, Sri Krishna, he ran toward him and fell at the feet of Jagannath unconscious. And he was in such a state of ecstatic love that all the symptoms of his life were unmanifest. And some people thought that perhaps he is dead. And other priests, they were thinking perhaps he is just a pretender, because there are so many pretenders. And they didn't know what to do. Some were thinking of beating him, some were thinking of picking him up and taking him out of the temple. But Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya was very wise. He understood this person is in ecstasy. He's very special. So he ordered the guards of the temple, bring him to my home. And there he tested him in many ways. He couldn't find any heartbeat. He couldn't find any breath, any pulse, nothing. But when he placed some very fine cotton fibers close to his nose, there was slight movement. So he understood that he is alive. But how to bring him back to consciousness? There are various remedies explained in the Vedas of how to bring a person in such a state of spiritual consciousness back to external awareness. And he tried all of them. But nothing happened. So he was very worried and very concerned. Meanwhile, Nityananda Prabhu and the other devotees, they came to Jagannath Puri. They went to Jagannath Temple. When Nityananda Prabhu saw Jagannath, he also started falling unconscious, but devotees caught him. And there he asked Gopinath Acharya. Gopinath Acharya was a resident of Navadvip and a dear friend and associate. He was a great devotee of Lord Chaitanya and Nityananda Prabhu, but he moved to Jagannath Puri. And he was told that Lord Chaitanya is at the house of Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya. So when they came and they saw the condition of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, they had big kirtan. Nityananda Prabhu and all of the devotees just began dancing in transcendental happiness and very, very loudly calling out Krishna's holy name.
Hare Krishna! Hare Krishna! Krishna Krishna! Hare Hare! Hare Ram! Hare Ram! Ram Ram! Hare Hare!
Knowing that there is no way to awaken the Lord except the loud chanting of his holy names. This is also very instructive. Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya tried all the various Vedic rules to bring a person back to consciousness, but he could not do. Similarly, in this age of Kali Yuga, the original God consciousness within all of us, there is no other way to awaken it except the loud chanting of Krishna's holy name.
Hare Krishna! Hare Krishna! Krishna Krishna! Hare Hare! Hare Ram! Hare Ram! Ram Ram! Hare Hare!
By performing various rituals, by so many mudras and so many pujas and so much recitation of slokas and so many things like this, penances, tapasyas. Here in India, it's a great wonder how many inventions there are to somehow or other get good luck. We have seen people draw things on their children to keep away bad omens, and sometimes they draw... I can't say all the things. Even Prabhupada, he said his mother would spit on him for good luck. It's a Bengali ritual. So there are so many things like this. But actually, so we can get good luck and we can get some prosperity. We may even get some liberation from suffering. But in this age of Kali Yuga, to awaken the mercy of Krishna within our heart, there is only one way. And that is the loud chanting of Harinam.
Hare Krishna! Hare Krishna! Krishna Krishna! Hare Hare! Hare Ram! Hare Ram! Ram Ram! Hare Hare!
So as they loudly chanted the holy names, to Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya's great amazement, Sri Gauranga Mahaprabhu just leaped in the air and started dancing in ecstasy. And the devotees, when they witnessed this, they were even more happy and joyful in their chanting of Harinam.
Hare Krishna! Hare Krishna! Krishna Krishna! Hare Hare! Hare Ram! Hare Ram! Ram Ram! Hare Hare!
So Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya, seeing this, was struck with wonder. He had simply never, ever, ever seen such a joyful, blissful existence as the relationships amongst these devotees. And with great honor and respect to this great sannyasi, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he told him that, why don't you go to see Lord Jagannath and have prasad? But we will arrange someone to go with you to see Jagannath, to protect you. And Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya, shortly after this, he was very much loving Lord Chaitanya. He had great affection for him. But he had a fatherly type of love, because he was even older than Lord Chaitanya's father. He was practically like his grandfather. He said, "You are only 24 years old, and you're so beautiful. Gaur Sundar, with such a beautiful golden complexion and lotus-like eyes, and long, long arms that reach beyond your knees, his nose, his mouth, his every limb, his every part of his body was the very personification of the highest beauty." So Sarvabhauma was thinking, for such a young, beautiful person like you to have taken sannyas, very difficult. Because all ladies, all Matajis will be too much attracted to you. How will you maintain your vows? There's only one way. You have to have clear discrimination, what is matter and what is spirit. Unless you totally make a differentiation between matter and spirit, what is illusion and what is truth, this world and all of its temptations, according to Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya, is an illusion. It is all temporary. It is like a dream. Therefore, your mind must be fixed in truth, in Brahman. And in order to do this, you have to very, very intensively and carefully study the Vedanta philosophy. Then you can, at all times, at every moment, discriminate between truth and illusion. And then you will be protected. So he was actually in a mood of a servant, taking the role of a teacher. And he also told Lord Chaitanya that you have taken sannyas from the Bharati Sampradaya, but there is a higher Sampradaya, Saraswati Sampradaya. I can have you reinitiated into a higher Sampradaya, higher line. So Gopinath Acharya, he understood this is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. What nonsense he's speaking. Talking about him teaching him what is illusion. He is the Supreme Truth. He is the creator of the illusory energy. Maya Vyakshena Prakriti Suyate Sachara. The whole material existence of Maya is working under the direction of the Supreme Lord Sri Krishna. What is it that anyone can teach him? Vedaham samatitani varatamanani chajana bhavachani cha bhutani mantu vedana kashtana. Krishna says, I know everything. I know everything that has happened in the past, all that is happening at the present, and all things that are yet to come. I know all living beings. I am seated in everyone's heart. I am directing everyone's wanderings according to their innermost desires. What is it unknown to the Supreme Personality of Godhead? And yet Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya wanted to teach him how to not fall down into the illusory energy. And he wanted to promote him to a higher sampradaya so he would make better spiritual advancement. Gopinath Acharya could not tolerate, although he was the son-in-law of Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya. Son-in-law treats the father-in-law like a father in cultured families. But in this condition, he could not tolerate. With all respect, he told Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya, this is all nonsense. Why you're saying like this? He is not subjected to any of these materialistic designations. He is the Supreme Godhead. And Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya said, you are speaking not according to Shastra. He is not the Supreme Godhead. The Supreme Godhead, it declares in the scriptures, only appears in three yugas. Therefore, he is known as Triyugan. And Gopinath Acharya explained, and he started quoting from so many shastras, how he is called Triyugi, because he appears as the Supreme Godhead in three yugas. But in the age of Kali Yuga, he appears as a covered incarnation. Jana Avatar. He appears in the role of his own devotee to give, by his example, the process of achieving love of Krishna. He is the Yugada Avatar. And he explained with so much evidence, but Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya and his disciples, they just could not understand. And ultimately Gopinathacharya is explaining the essence of all knowledge. That Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya, you are a great pundit and a great scholar and a great logician, better than anyone. But because you have not received the mercy of the Lord, you cannot understand him, even though he is standing right before you. He is right in your own house. And this is a fact. On the path of bhakti, we only have one purpose and one goal, to please Krishna. Because by pleasing Krishna, we receive his mercy. When we receive his mercy, he is kind to reveal himself to us. Otherwise, we can never know him. Rupa Goswami explains how we receive the Lord's mercy. It is through the process of surrender. And what is the process of surrender? To serve the Lord under the direction of his devotees with enthusiasm and patience. Enthusiasm means we cannot be lazy. We have to be willing to step forward against all odds. Even if we have to turn against the trends of society, we have to step forward with enthusiasm. Some people, they feel that, why you devotees are so much religious? You should go to temple on Sunday, maybe, sometimes. And you can do a little puja at home in the morning, but why you just want to talk about Krishna all day long? Why you just want to be going and being with devotees so much and doing so much seva? What is this? It is not sociable. It is not the way our society is run these days. There's a time and there's a place for everything. In this way, people are content to be very lazy spiritually, to work very, very hard for their families, for their occupation, for their nations, for their ego, for their senses, and put a little time aside for God and consider themselves religious, pious. Work is worship. But Krishna explains in Gita, satatam kirtayanto mam yadantata, that you must constantly be chanting my names and you must be endeavoring with great determination. That is the path of real religion. Man mana bhava mad bhakto mad yajim nam namas. Always think of me, not on Sundays. Not just a few minutes while you're doing some puja in the morning. Always think of me. Always be my devotee. Always be worshipping me. Tesham satata yuktanam bhajatam briti purvakam. Krishna explains, who is the person who is worthy of my mercy? One who is constantly engaged in my loving service. That is truth. And anyone who teaches anything less than that is not teaching truth. And our Guru Maharaj Srila Prabhupada, on behalf of all of the great acharyas of this sampradaya, was very uncompromising in this. Because when he came to the West, he found so many people are compromising. One of the most popular yogis of the West. Just last December, I was giving a lecture, and he came to my lecture. I met him. He was one of perhaps the biggest, most famous yogi in the West. He's not so much anymore because of some difficulties, but at that time he was. Very, very famous person. And he was astounded by what Prabhupada did. He's actually an honest man. In that he really had appreciation for Srila Prabhupada, and he really wanted to elevate people according to his realizations. So he said to Srila Prabhupada, that when I came to the West, and all these other yogis and all these other gurus, we understood how fallen these people are, and we were thinking, let's elevate them by teaching them massage therapy. And we'll teach them some yoga asanas, some pranayama, some dhyana, some meditation. But you're giving bhakti. You're giving the highest thing. You're telling them to surrender everything to Krishna. That is the ultimate. How can you expect these young people to do it? But they are. This is what shocks us. We can't believe it. We'll never say surrender to Krishna. We'll say you stand on your head for some time. The blood will go into your brain. It will make you more peaceful. You do some pranayama, it will help your lungs, and it will also make your mind a little more controlled. And so many other things. Sit meditation, find some peace, go within. But to tell them to surrender to God? 24 hours a day? Impossible. We would have never dreamed mentioning such a thing. Although we know it's in the Vedas. But you came. And not only that, but you're wearing shaved head, sadhu clothes. You didn't compromise anything. And yet there are thousands and thousands and thousands and thousands of people surrendering to Krishna. We can't believe it. You have done what none of us could ever dream could be done. Srila Prabhupada did not compromise. And he didn't compromise when he responded to this yogi either. He said, if you know that surrender to Krishna is the highest, why are you cheating these people by telling them something else? This is what he got after praising Srila Prabhupada. He was praising him. Devotees couldn't even praise Prabhupada like this man was, and Prabhupada chastised. Then why you are cheating? If you know they should surrender to Krishna, why don't you tell them that? And the person was very silent, because he knew that this was the truth. But he did not have that power. That power comes through disciplic succession. Without the mercy of the parampara, no one can have that power. Krishna Shakti Vina Nahi Tara Prabharatana. The grace, the mercy of Krishna comes through his own process that he has created. Evam parampara praptam idam rajashaya. So Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya understood. I'm sorry, he could not understand, because he simply had not received the mercy of the Lord. So Gopinathacharya told him, when the Lord is merciful to you, then you can see him for what he is. So Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya began his teachings to Lord Chaitanya. How nice. Lord Chaitanya was so humble. What he would do to give Krishna bhakti to someone. This, no other incarnation has done like this. He sat for 7 days, all day, from morning till night, hour after hour after hour after hour, just listening to Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya's interpretations of Vedanta Sutra. Because he knew, unless he listened carefully, Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya would not be receptive to receive his mercy. So they sat in the Jagannath temple. After 1 day, 2 day, 3 day, 4 day, 5 day, 6 day, 7 day. Can you imagine? Sitting and listening to Mayavadi philosophy all day long for 7 days. It's hard enough for us to stay awake when we're hearing Krishna's lila for more than an hour or so. Because of our conditioned state. But actually, as we make spiritual advancement, we should know one of the symptoms is that we stay awake when people are talking about Krishna. This is the sign of spiritual advancement. Because we're eager to hear. Srinvatam sukata krishna punya sravana kirtana hridyantasto yabhadrani vidunoti suritsitam nasta praesha bhadreshu nityam bhagavati sevaya.
When we become eager to hear, Krishna sees that we're so satisfied hearing about the glories of the Lord that he becomes satisfied. And that is the process of purification. Because actually, your heart does not really become purified by any mechanical process. Your heart becomes purified when Krishna is pleased that you are developing an eagerness to hear his glories. From within the heart, he cleanses. Just like we have heard the story of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu cleaning the Gundicha temple, how expert he was at cleaning the temple. Before Jagannath, for Rath Yatra, Jagannath goes from Jagannath Mandir to Gundicha Mandir. When we did our Jagannath Puri Yatra, all of you went into Gundicha temple, everyone except me. I was the only foreigner because of my low birth. I am not entitled to go in. But in this way, Lord Chaitanya, knowing how can Jagannath come into this temple unless it is spotless clean? So he and his devotees, under his instruction, cleaned the temple. So nicely they cleaned the temple. They just took brooms and they swept and they swept and they swept until all the dust and all the dirt and all the sand and all the particles was gone. And then Lord Chaitanya said, let us clean it again. Not clean enough for Jagannath to come. So again they cleaned. And Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu himself, after so many cleanings, he had every devotee put all of the dirt and particles in one pile. And he himself worked so hard in cleaning this temple that his pile of dirt and dust and sand was bigger than all of the others accumulated together. And then they started taking hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of buckets of water and cleaning it and cleaning it and cleaning it and cleaning it until the whole temple, every part of it, the altar, the cooking room of the kitchen of the deities, the kirtan hall, everything was spotless, immaculate, shining. And then the devotees had big kirtan and loudly chanted the holy names. Shri Gauranga Mahaprabhu ki. So this cleaning of Gundicha temple, the acharyas tell us, is actually Lord Chaitanya teaching us how we should clean our own hearts. And ultimately, we have to, ultimately it's Krishna that cleans our heart. Lord Chaitanya proved he's the best cleaner of hearts. In fact, he's the only one that can clean our heart. And he's living within our heart. And when he sees that we are sincere about strictly following the principles of bhakti and humbly serving the Vaishnavas, and in this mood, when he sees that we are chanting his holy name, then through his name, which is non-different than him, and through his own presence within our heart, he does all the cleaning. He wipes away all the anartas and all the misconceptions, all the upadis. And then he reveals himself to us and awakens our love for him. Premanjana churita bhakti vilochanena. We can only see Krishna when our eyes are anointed with the salve of love. And only Krishna can put that anointment on our eyes when he is pleased by our sincerity. So Lord Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, sat there in Jagannath Temple for 7 days listening to Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya. And Sarvabhauma, after his lessons, he looked at the Lord and he said, I have instructed you, and you have not asked any questions. I do not know whether you understand or do not understand. Some questions you must have. Some response. Say something.
Lord Chaitanya, with your permission, I will speak. I understand Vedanta Sutra. It's easy to understand. Vedanta Sutra is so clear, it's like the sun at noon. But your interpretations are like a big black cloud that completely obscure all the real meanings of it. Ah, Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya had never heard anything like this. People from all over the world were coming and touching his feet. You are the authority, tell us. And Lord Chaitanya told him that everything you said is all nonsense. It's all wrong. You have completely distorted Vedavyasa's words. Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya was a man with complete self-control of the mind and senses. He said, if you say like this, then you tell me what is the truth of Vedanta Sutra. He challenged him. You say that everything I said is wrong, you tell me what is the truth. So Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said yes, and he proceeded to speak. And as he spoke, he completely defeated and annihilated every single point that Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya said. And here was the greatest debater in the world, sitting there, speechless, before the Lord. And then he established that the true meaning of Vedanta Sutra is the true meaning of all the Vedas. That the ultimate goal of life is unmotivated, uninterrupted, loving service to the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Sri Krishna. And when Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya heard these explanations, he understood that this is correct. That no one but the Supreme Lord himself could explain in this way. And he fell at the feet of Lord Chaitanya. And the next morning, Lord Chaitanya came to bring Jagannath Prasad to Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya. And Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya got up and took that prasad with great enthusiasm. And Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu revealed to Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya, after Sarvabhauma surrendered himself unconditionally to the Lord, he revealed his six-armed form of Sadbuja, the divine form. Sarvabhauma saw Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu right before his eyes transform into such a wonderful, beautiful Murti. He had six arms. Two were green in color, and he was holding the bow and arrow of Sri Ramchandra, the son of Dasarath. Two were bluish in color, Sham, and they were playing the beautiful flute, Venu, of Sri Krishna. And two were beautiful gold in color, holding the danda and the kamandalu of Lord Gaurasundar. In this way, Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya understood that yes, he is the Supreme Lord, because he had received the mercy of the Lord. And when Gopinath Acharya had seen Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya become such a devotee, he was simply overjoyed in ecstatic love that Lord Chaitanya had given him his mercy, and now his life is perfect. Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya became so enraptured in bhakti that he even changed one of the most important slokas of Srimad Bhagavatam. Tatena kampam susamikshamano gunjana evatma kritam vibhagam ridvagvapur virvaditam namaste jivetiya mukti pade sadayabhak. This verse says, what is the qualification of a person who achieves the perfection of liberation? It is spoken by Lord Brahma, the spiritual master and father of all living beings within the creation, that one who, even suffering the most terrible crises, reversals, and pains of this world, stands before the Lord in that condition with folded palms and a grateful heart and says, thank you, my Lord. I deserve worse, but by your kindness, you are allowing me to take shelter of you in this condition. It is your mercy. A person who can do that, that's all you have to do in this world. If you can just do that, liberation is your rightful claim. So, Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya was thinking that what is this mukti pade? If you surrender to the Supreme Lord like this, why do they talk mukti? Vedavyas made a big mistake. He should have said, bhakti padeya dayavak, that you achieve bhakti. So when he met Lord Chaitanya, he showed him that I have edited the Srimad Bhagavatam and brought it to a higher understanding. It is perfect. It is the mature realization, the ultimate conclusion of all knowledge by the author of all Vedantas, Vedavyas. You cannot change. And Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya said, after getting your mercy and tasting the sweetness of Krishna consciousness, of bhakti, I hate the word mukti. I can't tolerate it. This idea of giving up your servitude to Godhead, to want to be Godhead, I despise this word. And Lord Chaitanya explained to him, actually, the perfection of mukti is bhakti. So when Vedavyasa says mukti, he's obviously talking about bhakti because everything in that verse is the definition of bhakti. So you should leave it as it is. But I'm very happy with you for having such a nice feeling in your heart. So in this way, Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya was transformed and became one of the most intimate loving associates of the Lord in his lila. So we should know through this wonderful narration that the achievement in our life that we are aspiring for through all of our activities is to just get the mercy of the Lord. Yasya prasada bhagavat prasado, yasya prasada nagati gata. And it's not so difficult to get the mercy of the Lord. If we get the mercy of his devotees, if we get the mercy of the great spiritual masters, the mercy of the Lord is none different. Just like there's a beautiful sloka where Lord Sri Krishna explains that when you feed the Lord's devotees, Krishna personally eats through their mouth. In fact, when you feed the deities with love and devotion, Krishna enjoys what you offer. But when you feed his surrendered devotees, through their mouth, he enjoys it even more. Why? Because to please the servant is most pleasing to the master. And how do we please the servants of the Lord? Simply by learning from them and faithfully and honestly practicing what they teach us. With the spirit, with the mood, that I will please Guru, I will please Vaishnavas, and in this way I will please Krishna. You may perform your activities very nicely. The yajnik Brahmins, they perform their ritual very nicely, expertly. You know the story in Vrindavan when the yajnik Brahmins were performing big yajna. And every particular mantra and every particular ritual was done, perfect timing, perfect pronunciation, perfect execution. But they didn't please Krishna. And their wives, they didn't do any of those things. They just brought some food into the forest and said, Krishna, please take it. We're willing to risk everything to bring this food to you. The husband said, you stay with us. The cowherd boys went to the Brahmin and said, Krishna wants some food, please give. They said, we're too busy with our rituals. We don't have time for this. So they went to the wives. The wives said, we will go. The husband said, no, you cannot go. You have to help us. But they went. Believe it.
They risked everything to please Krishna. Because they did that, they didn't offer it with any mudras, mantras, or anything else. They just gave it to Krishna. And Krishna revealed himself in his most beautiful, supreme form within their hearts and before their eyes. They achieved the perfection of life. They got the mercy of Krishna because they pleased Krishna. And that is the aspiration that we all have. Whatever activities we should not become, we want to perform all of the rituals of Krishna consciousness very carefully. We want to perform all the rules and regulations very honestly. We want to live by our vows very strictly. But we should understand that it has to be in the consciousness of the servant of the servant of the servant with the mood to please the Lord, his devotees, and our spiritual master. Because that mood is what actually is bhakti. And that is what will attract the mercy of Sri Krishna. In all religions throughout the world, people who lose the grasp of this essence, they become so much attached to the externals. But Lord Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu has come to bring us the essence. Trinadapi sunichena, tororapi sihishina, amani namana dena kirtaniya sadahari. That's all. We do not taste the nectar of the holy name because we are chanting offensively. There are 10 offenses to the chanting. If you can chant offenselessly, the holy name will awaken ecstasy within your heart. Every syllable of the name will awaken divine ecstasy. But we're chanting, and it's not awakening divine ecstasy. In fact, we have seen sometimes, instead of awakening, it puts us to sleep. Why? We have to struggle to chant our japa. Struggle. But that struggle is an act of devotion. And through that struggling, gradually we remove the 10 offenses. And Srila Prabhupada and Lord Chaitanya taught, if you just follow this principle of Trinadapi Sunichena Tarorapi Sahishnana Amani Namana Dena Kirtaniya Siddhahari, there's no offenses to your chanting. This verse is heavy. It is the all-in-all of spiritual life. If you are more humble than a blade of grass, more tolerant than a tree, ready to offer all respect to others, to expect none in return, your chanting will be offenseless, and the ecstasy of the holy name will constantly be awakening within your heart for all eternity. This is our goal, for the pleasure of the Lord. Thank you very much. Hare Krishna.